And you remember that the third point that we discussed last week was that man was put into this world in order that he should be the loader, the creator of his own good, the acquirer of his own good, and then he is the owner of his own good, and this is not charity that is given to him, it is not the bone that is thrown to the dog, but he is complete master of what he possesses. And once he has reached that stage, excuse me, I just hear, and once he has reached that stage, then he immediately he goes into Olam Habo immediately. And at the point of the Derech HaShem made, and this is a principle, and we've already worked, there are two principles, and that we've already worked on those principles. The one is that everything is paid for and must be paid for. Any wrong that we have done has to be paid for in some way or other. It is paid for here on earth, or it is paid for on the Olam or heaven, but it has to be paid for. And you will perhaps notice that I'm making a distinction between Olam or heaven and Olam Habo. But that will become clearer. Olam or heaven means the world of truth, and Olam Habo means the world to come. So after this, it is the Olam or heaven. But everything that a person does or says has got to be paid for. And everything that he does is rewarded. But I don't want you to think the reward is the reward that one gives a child if you give him and give him a piece of candy. That's not the reward. The reward is that which grows out of that which one does. If a person goes to college and then he goes to medical school, and then he subjects himself to slavery of internship for 2 years at least, where they sometimes work 36 hours without a stop, and in endurance all that, his reward is that he becomes a physician and he earns a very good living. So this is not something that comes from outside, it's the result of his own hard work. And that is the idea, that is the standard, that is the idea of man being placed upon earth. And so whatever he enjoys afterwards is the result of his own object. The ulam, lead us a silver meruba. Now, that has got to be paid for also. Now, that is one principle that we've got to know. We work on that principle every single moment of our life. The next principle is, there is, the evil has to be paid for and the good is rewarded. But the good is at least 400 times more than the evil. So the good that Hashem does is so much more. Now, Hashem is a real man is placed upon earth and his life upon earth is a preparation for the world to come. Here upon earth, he's got to struggle. In the, we're after, on the Olam Habo, the struggle is over. So the Derech HaShem explained to us that the period here upon earth is the period of struggle. There, this is limited. It comes to an end. When he has attained that perfection of which he is capable, I'm using the word human capital, really, I mean, was capable. Because he is thinking about the first man who bore his sins. But I'm using the present for a reason. And so he is capable of reaching perfection. Immediately he reaches perfection, he transfers to the Olam Habo. And that period of struggle is limited. As soon as he attains his perfection, however long it might take, 100 years, 200 years, 300 years, however long it might take. But when he goes into the Olam Habo, that is where he really rewards then the antibody is present. But if the middle elbow is greater than the middle row, yes. I'm speaking about automotive shortness. The first man before he finished. He didn't pass away. Now, what did you confuse that? The next, you use the word confuse. I break my neck literally for hours and hours. I finish my desk, then I drive in the car, then I'm asleep at night, I wake up, I spend hours in my bed. Working out how I can explain it to you that you can understand it with absolute clarity. Yes. And my purpose is the clarification of the obscure. You know what I feel like when you say you're confused?
I'm confused. It's not that you're confusing me, but I'm confused.
But you know what it does to me when you tell me that you're confused after all that? What are you confused? If he wants to, he can choose the bad. If he wants to, he can choose the good. He is absolutely in the middle. Is that clear? Now, let us go on from where we start today's here. Today's here starts on pages 48 to 49. Got it? In the Hebrew, it's paragraph 8. In the English, it's paragraph 5. Now, now this night here is very important here. I'm afraid those who didn't listen to this here 2 weeks ago will find this difficult. Those who listened to this here 2 weeks ago will be able to get it. When we might be story over down, furthermore, it is necessary to know. She may have mean or any no, she ain't in your little reason to make you only rolling him up in out of auto. What is that human being? We are speaking about a human being. And says the Derech Hashem that the human being, his existence, and all the circumstances for that existence are, wasn't the same at first as we see and observe it today. Which is the big difference. People long, she may go to a whole world. Because a big change has come in all this. So there is a remarkable change between what man, what Adam originally was, and what man is today. But he explains it. It's not only of what Adam originally was, but we see an essential Adam originally. It is that same change in the sin of Adam originally. So there is a very great change in the world as it was in the time of Adam Orishan before he came, from what he became after he came. Shemishtano beho Adam beho Olam imashu hoja vadikula. Because the man and his world changed. Not only the man changed, but the man and the world changed after that first sin. The Ulam, what else in the Sotah Tevarabi? He says the particulars of this change and the issues and the results, and the results of the results, are many. The Odeh Rabbeh from the Holy. We shall still speak about this and discuss this further on. The Mimto Shehadibu Baminu Enoshiva Pono, the Yidinesu Olam, the Holy. And now you must know that from now onwards, when we speak about the human being, and we speak about what he does, all about the human being, we are now going to speak on two levels. The one level will be Adam Orishan before the sin, and the other level is the level on which we find the world today. So now we are looking at a scene which is being enacted on two levels, on an upper floor and a lower floor, and the whole outside wall is taken away. This was before he came to visit what he was like after. He is Jubal Bogu in the two of the Sinosa Kodemache. So we're going to discuss man from as he was before the sin and as he was after the sin, with emotion, a boy and oath of Ezra Sajay. And as we shall explain further, Ezra Sajay, and we really find help for this. Good to be. So that is all. Everything is structured, everything is built up, everything is highly mathematical, and highly methodical, and highly structured. There is nothing here that isn't absolutely unprecedented, that is for intelligence and intellectuality. If you're not intelligent, please just raise your ears. Not for you. He may order more reason, now we are on 4-1-2. He may order more reason, the ancient people say, oh, your mom is the elder, a master of people, and so far, no, I know. The time she was your work of Nishaya, Rabbi Mahokin, your Magnu, Shahim and Shom of our group. He says that when the first man was created, he was exactly in that state which we have already mentioned. Namely, he was comprised and was compounded of two different parts. And these two different parts are contrasting parts. I'm not using the word conflicted. And these two are contrasted about. Hashem v'hora, good and evil. The who only the shikul v'nehem. And it is exactly in the middle of these two. L'yishobit v'mashi yishkameh. He can choose whichever one he wants of them. And what was to be expected of him, and what should have been done as far as he's concerned, he should have chosen the good, and so should have prevailed over his body, the sikhlo al khumro, and his intellect over the material, the also in Stalin does, and then he would have perfection, but not by slaving into Mesa, and remains in that perfection until all is dead. That would have been the position. And so if you say that, you know, the opposition is all the money you can, but you and now you do that. All right, just let me say to you, there is a question that you should ask on that. And what he's just done? A paragraph 60 is a question that you should ask. Yes, to that.
If it would be good to out of hand, since you have a thing to go right away and have a piece of action.
Well, when you say right away, it's not right away.
I mean, it's more to be bad.
Yes.
You wouldn't have left to be there.
No. This is the free will that was given to him, and then all of us would have had that same type of free will. We would have been placed exactly in the middle, and we could have choose between good and bad. Each one of us would have had that.
That's
right. Yes. No, really, the whole thing wouldn't have changed to that extent. To that extent. It's the same sort of thing. When you tell the highest of fierce building in Chicago, how many stories? So you don't tell your own country. How many stories is it? 110 stories. 110 stories. Now, say that the contractors put in bad material on the 99th floor.
She took a degree in medicine and she took a degree in surgery. She was very interested in psychology and she took a preliminary degree in psychology and then she took a PhD in psychology. And when there came a financial crash, the husband was very wealthy, there came a financial crash, and he lost everything, but literally everything, and she immediately, and we saw her the very next day after the crash, we saw the family, the very next day, the crash came, say, Monday, we saw them expecting Tuesday with their witness, and she was clear as to what she was going to do. She would take psychiatry, and she would be a psychiatrist. So that she'd be able to get her family on the feet, which she did for no time. She wasn't that bad. I was wrong. And she used to come and discuss this with me. One day she came and discussed with me. She was dealing with drug addicts and drug addiction. And she said that she's come to discuss with me whether it would be permissible and advisable for her to experiment only once with these drugs, because if she knew what the drug did to a person, she would be in a very much better position to handle it. And I said, certainly not, you can't do that. And she wanted to learn why. And I said, now, is this drug, is it an evil or is it an evil? She said, what an evil is. I said, as long as the evil is outside you, you are completely in control of the situation. But you take the evil right inside you, you know what that is? Take a person. You don't know that they are God. And they tell you how wonderful it is, what a wonderful experience it is. The sounds you hear, the colors you see, the emotions you experience, how wonderful it all is. You know it's evil. Why is it evil? You don't work for those emotions. You don't work to see those colors. You don't work to hear those sounds. It's evil. Anything you get for nothing is evil. Can you see the difference? To know that there are drugs in the world, and to take drugs, and then to try, and come back to the situation where you know that there is, but you don't take them. They knew that there was evil. Ordinary said, knew there was evil. He saw it. There it is. Didn't take it. But now he took it. Once he takes it, now you've got a battle to get back to where you were. How difficult that is. So what is the evil that was here? The evil that was here was hedonism. Pleasure for pleasure's sake. That was the evil. Eating. The pleasure of eating. Have you ever seen a gourmet? What is the size of the man? What is his size? How does his size compare in volume and in weight with his mental capacity? What it is? He's a gourmet. He's got a terrific winter and other food. The pleasure of eating. You say to him, but you say to the other class, why do you eat? You eat to put it at its very lowest. So that my body can keep myself. And it's very nice. Ask the gourmet, why do you eat? What will he answer? Enjoy it. But don't you know shortening your life? You should rather 20 years less and have the pleasure of eating than 20 years longer and not getting any pleasure out of money. That is it. That good man. He enjoys that. All the things that take place in the world. All the hedonism. Pleasure for pleasure's sake. And when drugs started, that is the people, and they were professors at university, and they inculcated this into their students. You do that from which you derive pleasure. That's the only thing that matters. You get pleasure from it, that's the pleasure that you have. Don't listen to anybody else. You are the judge. Nobody can make up your mind for you. Nobody is the judge for you. Don't have any inhibition. You are absolutely free. Of course he's absolutely free. You do it. So of course there was this before. When Chava ate from the fruit of the tree. When Chava ate from the fruit of the tree. When she saw, do you remember what he says the exact words? And the woman said that the tree was good for food. There was pleasure in the eating. You see, God was in her mind. And there was a passion. The eyes had a passion for it. The Nechmodro ate Lahat Kim. Because I hear young people speaking like this. A girl once said to me, she wants to marry a man we've experienced. But she don't even draw the person who's clean and who's pure. She said, no. I want carnal satisfaction. I want a man with that experience. She wants experience, that kind of experience she wants. Do you understand what it means? She was, she said, it could make one wise. Take the blood. You know what it is, you've got that experience. Whatever you do, do bad. And then you know what it feels like, you've had the experience. That is what he said. The first move that I'm going to eat something not for what it is really meant, but for carnal gratification, for the gratification of the body, giving up the soul for the body. So what is the fruit all about? The eating of the fruit, and knowing what it is you are eating, and the purpose for which it was created. That enriches the body, and it imparts into the body a spiritual quality. But that is altogether on a different level. That is on the level that it was before the first man sinned. So those were the evils that were lurking in the darker corners of the then existent world. But if it was exactly in the middle, how could one go wrong? That we will discuss next week. Thank you. Anyway, you've still got a few minutes of any questions you want to ask me.
I have to face that question. I understand that the adapters, the medical people are now aiming in some cases that some of these juvenile children and some of the criminals are so because there's something within them, there's something wrong within them that causes them to do this job at them, and they try to give them different kinds of medicine to stop it. How does that seem to be?
That is pretty much all. Those doctors don't believe in any of the things that I've told you about. They don't believe that the reality of the person is his soul. They believe that the reality of the person is his body and the chemistry in his body, those are, and whether he's dead, there's nothing more to it. That is what those doctors believe. Those doctors believe, as many psychiatrists do and many psychologists, at the moment the majority. 5 years ago, all psychologists and all psychiatrists and all psychologists believed 5 years ago that no man is responsible for anything he does. That any other person with the same background, same circumstances, same chemistry would do exactly the same thing. So you can't punish a criminal. You must be nice to a criminal. Simply. And if he killed somebody, anybody would have done it had he been with those circumstances. He's not to blame. Put him in prison, doesn't fulfill. How can you do a cruel thing like that? Such a good person. He goes out and kills some more people. But he's bad. We don't believe that.
Correct, but I have a great opening to that. Sometimes I understand that there are some medicines, there are some. Someone who can give to people, and I find that it stops them from behaving in an evil way.
Doesn't stop them from behaving in an evil way. It puts a block there. Mm-hmm. That's all, but it doesn't stop them. Doesn't change the personality. It puts a block there. Yes, Helen.
Mm-hmm. That
would come in the interview with the other. If you, by the way, you see, to beg you, because if you could not even beg me to bring you back to what you got, that is correct. But we haven't yet dealt with that part of the problem. We are dealing only now with the differences between the two, but we must understand what the difference is. Now, man has internalized the ego. It's right in it. Because it's much more difficult. It's easier to persuade a person not to take drugs than to he has never taken drugs, than to persuade a person who is deep in drugs not to take drugs anymore. He's internalized. The ego is right in it. That is right in his system now. That is what he said. Yes, Jordan.
That is, you used the word difficult a couple of times in describing how it would be difficult to go back to the way it was before. I would have thought it would be impossible.
Yes.
Is that impossible or is there a small chance?
You know, when Hitler broke through the so-called regime line, he went around it, and France fell. And Italy joined up with Germany. And America then supported England. What chance did England have at that moment? The churches took over the land of government. And he says, we're going to win this war. And he says, if the Germans land there, we'll fight them on the beaches. We'll fight them in the streets. We'll fight them from our homes. And if necessary, the government will go to Canada and we'll fight them from Canada. And we will not give in until we have unconditional surrender from the enemy. Do you know it was not? Unconditional surrender, it was not. That was impossible, it was not. You've heard me say that I was in England at that time, and I paid everything. They took down the names of the streets. And when we were traveling, the signposts, they took down the signposts, you see, because they expected parachutists to land any moment. And I was cycling from a place called Sheffield, not the big Ambassador Sheffield, to a place called Letchworth. And I was cycling, I didn't find my way. And a man stopped me with a broomstick. Didn't even have a gun, they didn't have any guns. They got the broomstick. He said, show me the identification paper. He said, and he was friends with the minister, and I showed him. He said, how do I know that you are false? How do I know that you're not a German spy? I said, I can't prove it to you, but what I'd like you to do is take me to the nearest police station or whatever you call. He said, there's an air base here. And he took me there. He took me to a corner. The colonel had done look at me to go around. So he gave me somebody, he said, you go with you, but you should take me and show me how to get to that train, you see. But that is where, can we win a war? The British is can we win a war? I saw the soldiers who came back from Dunkirk, and they said it was useless. We stood there with First World War rifles, and the Germans came to tell us what chance did we have? Churches say, unconditional surrender. Do you know what unconditional surrender means?
I understand.
It's impossible. That he wouldn't use the word impossible.
But how can one...
Impossible introduces despondency. You see, if I would have come to this congregation, I would have said, look here, we can build the capability. We can get it so cheap. We can get it for less than $1 million. But we must immediately do. So where do we get $1 million? How can we get $1 million? What are we going to do? It's impossible. Then you say. But once you say it's impossible, those are people who can't, you can't have it. Churchill never said it's impossible. He says, unconditional surrender. No such thing. Once he would have said impossible, he's not a believer. Yerachashim is too perceptive. He's too wise. is so impossible. He said it's difficult, it's very difficult. He never used the word impossible.
So you can
get that. But that he doesn't say. Thank you, ladies.
Well, there's something that comes to this one, those of you who haven't had an opportunity to, if you want to become a member of the Faith and Religious Critical Women's Division, and this is, we can see the description together early. But this is how stuff works with Archer. We just had a little baby and many of our members, and we would like to, if you can hear,
There is a lot of what is failure in them. As I've explained to you, in them, they don't know the pandemic. They don't know it's the cotton of them. They don't know that it's the pandemic. But a lot of the things they do, if you take the correlation of the king and queen, the king or the queen in England, the whole correlation is based on failure. But they don't know it. They think that this is the way that it's come down to them. You take the English court with covered heads. There were sentences of guilty pronounced, another covering was put on his head. The witness, how they got to stand when they did evidence, how they take the oath, raising their eyebrows, all that is failure. Taking the Bible in one hand, all that is failure. You also beg at them, I'm sure, about. But that has come down. There's tremendous amount. And those are called the below level. So, the main narrative of the city, things came down. So, there are 10 generations from Ordinary Instrument to Noah. Ordinary Instrument had communication with Hashem. Noah had communication with Hashem. And it came down right to Abraham. And then we had Shem and Abraham, the son and the great grandson of Noah, and they had schools. And they thought, which company do you want to go to? Went to the school. Yaakov went to that school. So you can imagine what a high level it was. And a lot of that came down. So Graham has, they haven't got what we have got. But they've got a certain amount they've got. And that is why we've been chosen to lead the way. But if a Jew doesn't believe, can't lead the way. But when there's cricket thinking, you've got no idea of cricket thinking. I'll just give you one quick example. Have you heard it said that Kahana is a Jewish Hitler? And really so. Now, but for the end of the year, understand anything so acute and wise. Because he says that the Arabs must get out of Israel, and Hitler says the Jews must get out of Germany. The Jews were loyal citizens to Germany. Loyal, fighting their wars. Completely loyal and faithful, observed all their laws. The Arabs, in Israel, fighting against us, doing acts of terrorism. Can we say the Jews were critical to them? This is crooked thinking. But then he doesn't have a big scale. Now, you can't convince these people that they were Jewish or black. Let me know with it. Can't convince these people. But that's what they're prepared to say. It's just predicting the best of medicine. How can we say a thing like that? How can we abuse a person to this extent? Well, I tell the person can't do it. Tell the person can't do it. I will abuse you. Tell the person can't. You understand? Now, Elizabeth, that is your question.
The question has to do with the difference between verses 27 and 28.
Yes.
Where 27
yeah.
The invitation to that goal.
Yeah.
I understand that in the case of correspondence, but it troubles me that is the, I can't remember what you said, it goes the wrong way. I mean, that correspondence
in
the next one,
where it
says, it's in contrast.
Yes.
Why with the hurry? Is it in contrast, or with arrogance? Is it in contrast, and with the corpus, with care?
And I think why it should be like that. Why with the crooked it should be parallel, and why with the arrogant it should be in contrast. Why the arrogant of no doubt? That's a very good question indeed. Why the crooked should be parallel and reciprocal, what we explain that if a person tries, then Hashem helps them. But it doesn't mean to say Hashem doesn't put obstacles in his way. Because the way to help him is by putting obstacles in his way. He's got to help him that way. So he helps all along. But if a person wants to go crooked, what does it mean? If a person wants to go straight, then there is an effort. And where there is an effort, that is where all the greatness can come. The person who wants to go crooked, there is no effort there. He doesn't want any effort. He doesn't want to go against his nature. No effort. Right? Then that is what action does for you. So it is parallel or it is reciprocal.
Right? That I understand.
Right. Now, we are speaking really only about one needle. We are speaking about arrogance. Arrogance is a needle for which there is no middle way. It's reprehensible, it's unpardonable, there is no middle way. A person who is arrogant, the Gemara says, is the same as an elevator vegetable. Because he puts himself in the place of God, with no question about it. Puts himself in the place of God. Here, Hashem deals with him, not according to his own way, but Hashem deals with him, here is a person that is harmful. And as a person that is harmful, he's got to bring him down.
Because he affects others?
He affects others, he's put down. And humility is something that of itself raises a person. Of itself it raises a person. You know the story, there's a passage in the Gemara that says, if a person runs away from covet, from honor, then covet runs after him. Habareach mina covet, yet when it's covet runs after him. So the certain person came to a very great rabbi, and he said, you know, I have run away from COVID, and COVID doesn't come to me. But the answer was a very clear answer. You know what the answer was? He said, because you are always looking back over your shoulder. So it's not humility. But Hashem can't be arrogant with this. You're able to deal with it. There's nothing you can do with that. Arrogance and anger are considered to be the two worst attributes of the person.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
I don't know.